welcome everybody to episode 21 of the CCB Health and Fitness Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Van Praet. Today we're going to talk about gyms. Not your buddy Jim the neighbor, but, you know, gyms, G-Y-M, the dreaded gym. I'm here to say not so much, so we're going to talk about that coming up. Everybody, welcome to episode 21 of the CCB Health and Fitness Podcast. I am your host, Ryan Van Praet, your friendly neighborhood kinesiologist, and today I wanted to talk about a topic that I actually wasn't planning on talking about for a little while now, but thanks to a friend of mine who sent off an email just earlier today, it kind of sparked my brain, and I really wanted to get this podcast out. So I think in the past we've talked about the gym, and gym being GYM, again, not your friend gym, but gym, your local fitness facility like the YMCA or Good Life or Lifetime Fitness or Joe's General Gym, like whatever fitness facility is in your community. We want to talk about accessibility and how to access that and how to navigate that system in terms of being a visually impaired person. And I think way back when we started the podcast, I might have talked about it a little bit. But the impetus for this almost impromptu podcast is I received an email, and I kind of wanted to, rebut the email. And it's not even that this podcast is directed to anyone in particular, but it's just in the CCB Health and Fitness program. Obviously, I'm the manager of it, and it's kind of my direction here. And I obviously open the door for debate and questions and whatnot. But I'm a really huge believer in if you want to make a difference, sometimes you got to rock the boat just a little bit, and you have to be a bit of a different voice. And I'm really big on wording and on tone and on striking a positive outlook and a hopeful outlook on everything that we do. I think far too often in the world of disability, you know, it's the poor you, you know, somebody finds out you're blind and they're very sad. They're like, oh, that's so sad, right? And you can hear their voice drop and they feel just like the world is horrible for you. And I'm a big believer that in order to change this, in order to get people to realize that we're just people first, and note what I just said there, because that's a bit of a hint for what's coming up in March, but I digress. So getting people to realize that we're people first and what our abilities are and that we're just wacky individuals that have talents and likes and dislikes, it's all about the tone and it's all about how I think we present ourselves and how we word things. And I want people to know that I'm kind of this wacky guy and that, you know, I'm a general positive guy. So that spreads over to my outlook in this program, and that spreads into my outlook in the topic that we're discussing today, which is gym accessibility. So the reason I'm coming about this is the email that I got was an article from somewhere in England, and essentially it was an individual talking about how their frustrations came about in terms of gym accessibility. And everything in the particular article was spot on, and we'll get into that in a second. But one of the things that caught me was sort of the tone of frustration, right? And what you'll notice my sort of philosophy is for sure we can bring up the barriers and discuss the barriers. It's absolutely essential to discuss what our barriers are. However, I think the key is discussing the barriers, but laying on thick the potential fixes for those barriers. There's no real effectiveness, I believe, in simply dwelling on what is difficult or what is a challenge. Because, yes, we have a challenge as blind, visually impaired people, but taking that step back and looking at this objectively, you know, other people have barriers as well. You know, some are more obvious in terms of maybe wheelchair accessibility or the deaf community or, you know, but there's others with learning disabilities or social anxieties and depression, etc. So it really is essentially about looking at the positive and looking at the possibility. So we'll dive into this a little bit, okay? And I'm encouraged to get your feedback and your opinion on this. And we'll move forward. So in terms of a gym accessibility, this particular author wrote about a few things. And again, on the surface, I agree with everything. And what I want to do today is maybe add a bit of solution to some of the problems. And I think that's what struck me in the article is there wasn't a lot of solution. It was more about these are the troubles. This really sucks. You know, this needs to be fixed. And absolutely it does. And we're going to try to come up with some maybe potential ideas here. So in terms of gym accessibility, let's start with sort of the main one that the author came up with and I think actually is the trickiest one. And that's surrounding technology. So in the old days, you know, way back 10, 15, 20 years ago, treadmills, other machines, they had more distinct buttons to them, more tactile features. And I can't speak necessarily from experience because when I was younger, I had substantially more vision. But thinking back to those particular machines, you know, it's my impression that I think they're probably more accessible on the grand scheme of things because they were more tactile. You know, the buttons were more physical. They were raised. You know, you could count over two and count up three, and the buttons made a significant beep, etc. You could also put markers on each individual button. I know my treadmill at home, actually, which is only maybe 2.5 years old. The buttons are flat. They're not flush, they're not raised in any manner, but they are distinct. They are separate push button interfaces. So I can put pieces of tape or dotits on it. So that's kind of an easy, you know, no-brainer. A lot of people obviously understand that as blind visually impaired. If you can put a physical marker on something, it's going to make it substantially easier. And essentially, in your local gym, you know, that's a possibility. And we're going to maybe finish off with how we can have a conversation with our local gym. But in terms of recent technology, so I'm staring at my iPad here. Well, essentially, a lot of new gym equipment is just like an iPad. I mean, it's just a screen, right? And I know for me, I can see the screen, but now sometimes the colors are not maybe high contrast, or the wording is really small, etc. And that certainly is troublesome. And one of the suggestions we got from one of our email group readers was to create a template. And I thought that was fantastic. I never even thought of that. But basically what they did is they worked with their fitness professional and they created basically a cardboard template. So if you think of a fitness screen as an iPad and you go to that particular treadmill often, you'll get to know that the buttons are always in the same spot, even though they're, you know, they're just a touchscreen. So what that person did is they worked with their fitness counselor, their fitness coach at the gym, and they created this cutout template. So they knew that if they placed this template over the screen, they knew the key sequence. They knew that they had to press, you know, the bottom left button and then the bottom right button. And then, you know, maybe the top right button would be your speed and you could press that to go up. And then right beside would be another cutout with a speed down kind of option. So certainly that is not foolproof and it doesn't give you all the feedback you want. But I certainly think that's a creative way of approaching it, you know, creating that cutout template, kind of like they have for the signature templates or writing a standard check, right? They have those plastic templates. So it's essentially that same idea, which is fantastic. So again, there's a problem, but let's focus on the potential solutions. One of the potential solutions, and the author did come up with this, is you know, the audio interfaces like bank machines and whatnot, and interfaces that could connect to your smartphones. And so certainly with all the touchscreens, it is a huge pain in the rear end. And I think the key question there is how do you approach fitness manufacturers? Because yes, us as blind individuals, we certainly have our challenges in using fitness equipment. So would somebody with, you know, potential hearing and vision issues, right? So, you know, we can rely on our ears to hear the beeping if we've pressed the button, etc. But somebody with a hearing disability as well as a visual disability, you know, they're going to have issues as well. So my point being is that there is no one-all fix-all. I think, you know, in my opinion, and I'd love to hear yours, is that you're never going to have something that's a complete foolproof. I mean, even smartphone technology and stuff, it's they're working hard to make it accessible, and it's getting a long ways. And so gym manufacturers, I'm sure, you know, as time goes along, they're going to be, you know, working in that direction. And I think the key there is not being afraid as consumers to sort of push them on that, but push them gently. Well, not gently, I shouldn't say. There's nothing wrong with sort of giving them a good nudge, but I think doing it in a productive manner, instead of just saying, hey, company X, your equipment is terrible. I can't interface with it and I can't use it and et cetera, et cetera. That doesn't provide them with any valuable feedback. So again, we understand what the problem is. Let's find the solution. So coming up with a list of your suggested solutions is the key, okay? So that's my thoughts on technology. And that, I think, is the trickiest one because you're dealing with, I guess, a third-party entity. You know, you're dealing with a fitness company that, you know, that produces thousands upon thousands of pieces of equipment. And if your gym only deals with one particular fitness company, you know, the likelihood of your gym going out and buying a specialty treadmill just for you is pretty low. So I think really the idea there is finding workarounds or techniques to deal with the chosen fitness equipment of your facility. And again, that comes down to having discussions with the various staff. So hopefully that sort of makes sense. But we move on to sort of the more general things like moving around between equipment or how to choose weights. So choosing weights, okay, let's say you're working out independently and you know, I know a lot of fitness facilities now actually are pretty dim, right? They're pretty dark. So if you were in that particular facility and you can kind of see like me, but you can't really see the numbers on the plates, one suggestion, and this has been done, I know here in our hometown, is putting tactile markers on the individual plates. So if you know you're going to do, you know, five machines of these various machines, and you know roughly what your weight range is, you know, you could put a tactile, let's say you're going to go somewhere between 100 and 160 pounds on a leg press. Well, then maybe put a piece of tactile tape on the 100 pound plate, right? And then maybe every other plate down to say 200. And then you know there, okay, there's your landmark at 100. The next plate without landmark is 120, the next plate with a landmark is 140, et cetera, et cetera. So it's giving yourself those tactile landmarks. Again, it's working with the machines that the gym have and finding the tricks that can best work for you. How about those hand weights? Well, again, it's a bit of exploratory, not exploratory surgery, but exploration on your part with the fitness manager and walking around and saying, okay, you know what? These are generally the range of weights that I'm going to use. I know I'm never going to use the 5 pounders maybe for the particular exercises I want. And I know I'm never going to use the 50 pounders, but in the middle, these are the ranges of the weights that I want. So a couple solutions. One is sort of memorizing the layout and saying, okay, I know the 10, 15, 20, 25 pound weights are in this particular order on this particular rack. So without even seeing, you can feel around. And as you get a little more in tune, you also can be able to tell, you know, by the size of the dumbbell and as soon as you pick them up, you know, what the weight is. But then you're going to say, well, part of that trouble is people don't always put the weights back in order. And that's absolutely true. So then again, it comes down to maybe more of a tactile thing. So you've got the raised dots that you could potentially put on an end. You could put some little strips of tape, more tactile features to identify each weight. Okay. So that's how you can identify various hand weights or plate weights. Okay. So another potential solution to a potential problem. Getting around, well, obviously there's a handful of ways you can get around in between equipment. And again, us individuals with vision loss, we tend to have a knack for memorization. And I always thought, hey, I'm special. I've got this great memory. Yeah, well, I'm not. It turns out pretty much every blind person has a really incredible memory from what I've encountered. So it's using that mental map. It's also explaining to the fitness manager, you know, what general machines you have interest in, and you know, maybe coming up with a plan with them on the best ways to navigate. And you've, for the most part, you've got your white cane, or you've got a dog, or you've got a workout buddy. And that's kind of the next thing we're going to get into as well. Okay. So we've gone through how to make potential adaptations to the machines, like the treadmills and the bikes and whatnot. We've gone through potential adaptations on how to adapt plate weights or weights on machines or hand weights. We've also adapt or come up a little bit with a topic of on how to get around the gym, right? Using the tools that we have. So your cane, your guide dog, your memory, and your buddy, okay? So that comes up to the next sort of two topics. One is, how do I participate in a fitness class? And we have very firsthand experience here in Chatham, and it's something that we're working towards expanding. It's basically, some people call it Train the Trainer Day. We called it a Fit for Life Day because it's about having blind individuals going in and learning how to feel comfortable in a gym setting so they can become fit for life. So a way around this, and we did this on a big scale, but you can do it on a small scale, is as a blind individual, if I knew I wanted to participate in various classes, what I would do is I would arrange with my local fitness facility to go in with a sighted guide and say, hey, you know what? I want to participate in this spin class. I can't see what the instructor is doing, but let's arrange to have two bikes side by side and maybe even a little closer than normal. So my sighted guide can come in and be that middleman, right? So the instructor can teach the class as they would normally teach it, but as a blind individual, you can also give them pointers perhaps after the class and say, hey, you know, this wording didn't make sense. Can you maybe tell me what you mean by this wording, or can you maybe give me these extra word cues? And so the next time the instructor will give you these different word cues. And also at the same time, your sighted guide can relay to you, you know, what the instructor is calling for without the disruption of the class. And this has worked because what has happened is two things. One, the instructor, they're keen to help. You know, they want you to be there. They want you to take their classes, but they don't know necessarily how to make them accessible to you. And, you know, you, on the other hand, being a blind person, you just want to fit in. You don't want to stand out. You don't want to be the blind person that everybody's watching thinking that you're going to fall off your bike. You want to fit in fairly seamlessly, right? So if you can work with that particular spin class instructor, you and your sighted guide and that instructor can sort of even spend 20 minutes before or after class kind of going over some things as well, you know, this is all going to be helpful. The instructor is going to walk away feeling far more confident on how to help you and how to help somebody else with a disability. You're going to feel way more comfortable being part of that particular class. Your sighted guide is going to feel more comfortable on how to interpret what the spin instructor is doing and how to relay that to you. And ultimately, moving forward, it's just a win-win for everybody, because you as a visually impaired person can advocate to your friends and say, hey, you know what? This particular gym is accessible. They're willing to work with me, and they're great. And on the other hand, that gym and that instructor can say, hey, look, we're confident that any person walking through the door, we're going to keep that open mind, and we're going to think positively about all the potential solutions to the problem. We're not going to think about, well, they're blind, or they could fall off the bike, and I have no idea how to teach them, so we're not going to encourage them to exercise. Instead, that gym is going to go, hey, this is a niche. Like, we can be super proud of the fact that we've worked together with the visually impaired individual and their guide, and we've come up with new techniques and tricks that we can share with other gyms and other instructors. So, you know, that again is a solution to a common problem. And these are just brainstorming solutions off the top of my head. And I know you guys out there have lots of other experiences and solutions as well. One of the last pieces, you know, to address is the whole issue of, well, I can't work out by myself. Well, yeah, it's tricky. I think there's a couple solutions to this, or a couple thoughts on this. So one, you know, if you came into a gym and you worked out a lot by yourself, and let's say you had an initial appointment, and this is what I would encourage, an initial appointment with the fitness manager. Go in and just be flat out honest and say, you know what, I'm a visually impaired person. I'm going to come in here with my cane or my guide dog. You know, these are my goals. these are the particular machines maybe I should work on. What other machines do you think I should work on? And here are my challenges. I can't see the screen on the treadmill, but potentially here's a solution. I can't see the plate weights, the numbers, but here's maybe a potential solution. What do you think? And it's having that conversation, because what you find is the gyms, the disability acts say that they have to accommodate you, but they don't generally know how, right? They know the whole general techniques of don't grab a blind person by the wrist and pull them through the room. They know that, but they're learning as well on how to make fitness accessible, and you're equally part of that process. So having that conversation with that fitness instructor saying, this is my goals, these are machines maybe I could use, and if there's other machines you think I should use, how do we work with this, right? Then by going into the gym and sort of taking it easy the first couple times and kind of navigating your way around, you're going to be noticed, right? There's a plus and minus about being noticed as a blind person. I know sometimes we don't want to stand out and be seen as that oddity, that object. But what happens is if you go in and, you know, you've come up with a plan with the fitness instructor, the fitness manager, you're not going to look like that poor blind person fumbling around, right? You're going to look fairly organized, which is great. And then also people are going to come up and talk to you because they're curious, right? And then who knows from there what happens in terms of, hey, you know what? My name's Joe. I come in here every time you're in here. If you ever want to work out together, maybe we can work out. And I noticed you were struggling there pushing the buttons on the treadmill. How about I help you out? Right? So that's how these things work. The other method is bringing in a sighted guide. And we came up with a solution with our local gym to say, hey, if I'm coming in and I'm paying for my membership or my day pass, can you allow me to have a sighted guide come in with me for free, right? Their sole job is to make sure that, you know, I'm being safe and they can assist me through my workout. But, you know, the perk to them is you're going to allow them to work out beside me. They're not going to dump me on a treadmill and then walk away for half an hour. You know, they can work out on a machine with me for free, right? So they can do something while they're there. They're not just standing there staring at me. But their ultimate responsibility is to be there as my eyes and my guide. However, if they abuse that privilege, then the gym has the right to obviously, you know, revoke them from coming back. You know, they're not going to let your guide come in for free if your guide isn't actually there guiding you, right? And we've had success with this. So again, that's another solution is if you have your own sighted guide that works, you know, the same hours as you or does the same type of workouts or wants to come in with you, most gyms are pretty open to allowing them to come in. If you don't have a sighted guide, then it's that being visible aspect I found has really worked in being out there and doing your workout and striking up conversation. And it's really tough, and I understand, right? That you think everybody's staring at you, and I've learned over the years that not everybody is. You know, I always felt like that, and until I got married and my wife came along, she's like, nobody's even watching. Nobody cares. They're all got their headphones on. They're all doing their thing. But what happens is maybe one or two people notice you walking through with your white cane, and they're the outgoing ones that strike up a conversation and end up being your workout buddy, right? So again, these are all potential solutions. And I was going to address this particular topic somewhere down the line. And who knows, maybe if I would have done it in maybe a more succinct fashion, but I'm really key on finding solutions and thinking outside the box, right? Thinking about what the possibilities are and not just thinking about what is tough and what a struggle is, because that's inevitable. That's a given, right? We're going to struggle with things day to day. And I think in order to keep moving forward and to really find those successes is to think outside the box and to maybe sometimes do the things that aren't easy or not natural, but are productive. I often say life is best lived outside your comfort zone, right? So that's kind of my rambling today in regards to gym accessibility. A very brief overview, and I really would love to hear your comments. And if you disagree with me at all, that's perfectly fine. Like these are my thoughts. These are my, you know, blind guy perspectives. There's not a lot of sort of professional perspective here as a kinesiologist, because that sort of doesn't come into play really in this podcast. This podcast is a lot about my experience as an athlete, my experience in gym settings, my experience as a blind guy. And and the overall need to think about things positively. And I think you'll be very surprised how a positive mindset and an open mindset to thinking of the possibilities can turn into really awesome situations and a lot of great new friends. So thanks everybody for listening. Really would love to hear your thoughts. And yeah, stay tuned for early March with some really big news coming up. But that is our gym accessibility topic for today. So have an awesome day. This is episode 21, ccb.healthandfitness@gmail.com. Let's hear your thoughts.